Well, good morning. Welcome to Austin Bible Church. We are delighted to have you with us here this morning. We are very blessed this morning. I want to start us off with a word of introduction. We are enjoying the blessings of the Lord this weekend, and those blessings include bringing Faisal and Carrie John to us from Grace Bible Church, Pakistan. Perhaps you saw the email that I sent out last night with all the excitement and all the joy to be here at the 9:30 hour, because Faisal will be speaking both this hour and next hour. As far as introductions goes, he is now Pastor Faisal John, and we almost caught him on his one-year anniversary. He was ordained on October 3rd of 2011, so just a little over a year ago. We're very thankful for that and very happy for that. And as we were having dinner last night and visiting, we learned that we have probably about 20 or 30 friends in common, fellow pastors, missionaries, believers all over the country. We have so many people in common. I grew convinced that we're family somehow. And I'm right. You know why? Because we're royal family. We're royal family of God in Christ. And that's absolutely true. So in any event, Faisal, would you come and bring us the word, please?
Thank you very much. Okay. Am I on? Okay. Good morning. How are you? Wonderful. We are very blessed to be here this morning with you guys, with the royal family of God. And it's always honor and blessing to share what is God doing and what He has done and talk about His excellency. So before we talk about His excellency, I want to thank you so much for your time, and especially thank you, Pastor Bob, for your invitation to be with your congregation. And it's always honor. It's always honor. So before we talk about where I come from, how I got into United States, and what God did in my life, and I want to share this little video. So before we watch this video, I want to pray. I want to pray and ask God's illumination and His understanding and His power to be, you know, make known. English is always, I will remember that, my second language, and I always need the Spirit of God to help me to speak. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are very grateful that You are loving God, that You are always opening Your hands for Your children. And we are very grateful that You are our living God and we are Your people. We are Your children. And especially the great honor by the name of Your Son Jesus Christ, and believing in Him, we have access to Your throne. So this moment we come before You. Ask Your wisdom, Your blessing, and Your Spirit, and Your provisions of words and vocabulary, what I need to speak this morning to Your people, Your majestic One. Give me understanding, and use me, and hide me behind the work of Jesus Christ. And Your Son Jesus' name be glorified and magnified, and whatever we are going to talk that You has done in our life, to be encouragement and perseverance and a lot of other things, come with Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's watch this movie. This is a little movie that is a wonderful summary of my life. So,
a traveler passed by He told the man to meditate, to purify his mind, and when he reached nirvana, all suffering would cease. The man did as he was told, but he remained in the hole. Another man appeared. He explained that the hole didn't exist, and neither, in fact, did the man. It was all an illusion. The man who did not exist was still stuck in the hole that was not there. Another visitor arrived. He instructed the man to perform good deeds to improve his karma, and though he would still die in the hole, he might be reincarnated as something magnificent. Another man looked down from above. He taught the man to pray 5 times a day facing east and to follow 5 important tenets. If he was faithful, one day, perhaps, the divine would set him free. The man prayed as best he could, but he was losing strength, and in the hole he remained. Down to the man in the hole and ask him if he wanted to be free. This man lowered himself into the earth, into the pit. He took hold of the man and dragged him into the light. Get himself out, was saved.
That is the story. Grew up in Pakistan, born in Pakistan, and my family background, I was stuck in that hole. Hole of confusion, I often call, hole of, you know, unknown. Just confused, not knowing what is the truth. And I can relate to that story. And the best message and the best thing is ever make known to me. And the best message, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the hope of nations and the hope of everybody. So, my family background, being born in Pakistan, in a small Christian colony and involved in a lot of activities, a lot of religion. And I'm going to tell you a little bit briefly where I come from and who I was and what God has done. My family background, 4 generation involved in a black magic, which is real black magic, like Bible speak about demonic powers, Satan's, which is the enemy of God and those who believe his son. So we were worshiping Satan's and his agents and his, you know, images. So we were involved in Hinduism. We have many gods and many idols and many objects, and so was, you know, decided in each day to worship and sacrifice. Then we were also involved in religion called Islam. We were worshipping, also we were worshipping dead bodies, dead peoples following graves and following evil spirits. So this is our background. 4 generation. My dad, which is the firstborn in a family, and then I am the firstborn in a family, and every firstborn have a responsibility to continue to the business of family, which is witchcraft, following demonic activities. So I can relate to that. I was confused like that person looking for to do something. And in those all religion, it's one word, do, 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 do. Which is often, I say, do-do. Which is the word come from Paul saying in Philippians 3, 8 and 9, I count all things scubala. So, in those religions, everything's do, 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 you are doing. Whether it is in Hindu gods, whether it is in any other gods or any other demons activity. So we were involved, and just so happened, just want to make that crystal clear, just so happened, there's nothing happened out of the will of God. There's nothing happened without His will. So just so happened, a new pastor came to our community, and he was gathering the youth, and he invited me. He invited me in that Presbyterian church, and he said, we have no worshiper, and you have a talent to play congo, which is a three-piece of drums, and we would love to have you. And that was an awesome opportunity for me to get into a Bible study and start studying the Word of God and get to know the only way. When I come across those scriptures like John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. There is no come to Father except through me. I am the only one qualified in a simple way. There's no other way. And that's the truth I got to know when I find out he said, I am the way. He's not telling, I know the way. And got to know that he said, I am the truth. He's not speaking that he knows the truth. And I am the life. He's not telling about that I can point to you the life. So these are so marvelous truth that drilled in my mind by the God, the Holy Spirit, and light opened. My mind was opened, and I became a believer in that church by that pastor who leads me and show me the grace gospel. And I was blessed. I was blessed, and after that, being in family who are involved in witchcraft, all demonic activities, there's your war is begin. And that's why I love it. The moment we believe in Jesus Christ, we are listed as a warrior of Jesus Christ to go forth and live as a warrior of Jesus Christ, or prayer warrior, or ambassador of holiness. So I start telling my family, Mom and Dad and Grandpa, whatever you've been doing from past many generations, it is wrong. Wow. Who the heck are you? You're telling us we've been wrong. Dad, Bible says this, Jesus is the only way and there's no any other God like Him. He's the only one who can deliver. Oh, we believe Jesus, we believe Buddha, we believe, you know, all other objects. We believe, you know, all the gods. So, what's the difference? No, Dad, you're not understanding. He's the only one. So then, there's a, you know, conflict. They were not happy. They were cursing. They were going crazy when I was working and making some money and supporting them. And I quit my work and saying, Lord, I don't want to end up in that slavery and in that job. I want to go forward and tell others. God said, okay, that kind of volition I'm looking for. And that's the best lesson I ever learned or spoke. That God got the ability and He's only looking for availability. And throughout the history as I speak, Bible speaks very crystal clearly. Romans 15:4. For whatever was written in the earliest time, it was written for our instruction. So through the Scripture, through the Word of God, we have a perseverance and hope and encouragement. That's why the Bible is the living Word of God. Every story, every failure, every encouragement, every miracle, every unbelievable thing happen in the Word of God for our instruction. So, Bible is written, the God's counsel is written for us, so we can understand the grace, the love. So I was telling them, God, Dad, you have to, you know, understand that. So my dad was just, you know, kicking, screaming, and using those craziest words I haven't found yet in the English dictionaries. They are horrible. They are horrible. I can't define those, so I just say scariest words and curse words they were he was using. So as, you know, conflict going and I'm trying to explain the grace of God and continually going forward, and even in your house you have a conflict. And I'm going in a village to village and people making out this note and saying, how can any good thing can come out from this family or this city? Because we know. We have still my grandfather who's dead. My uncle who was a witch doctor, the second one who's dead. Thank God my dad's still alive. He's the testimony of Jesus Christ. And he became a believer after struggling 5 years. And he struggled a lot. It's very hard for someone to turn his face from all the demonic activities and then become a believer and saying, I was wrong. Everything was wrong. Jesus is the only way. So before he became a believer, there was a lot of struggle. And then he became a believer. Guess what? Now attack is on them. The gods we were worshipping, my mom was choked. And our doors shutted down and on. And all kind of stuff was going on. Only for one reason, to scare us and go back to them and worship them. And I was continually encouraging, Dad, Mom, our God is mighty. And I got this, you know, thing. It's quite interesting. When I'm not home, these things happen. These things happen to them to scare them. And when I'm home, they are fine. So they are struggling, and there was a time I said, Dad, it's a time to take this statue, this idol we are been worshipping out of our house. That's not the place for her or him to be here. And I took that statue, it was like this big. It was a lady sitting on the lion, and her name is Lakshmi Saraswati. That is a Hindu demon's god. So we were worshipping, and I took that object and tie rope on that object neck, and I was dragging in the street. People's kids after me, and people's after me and shouting, they will harm you. They are horrible. They will kill you. And I stopped. I said, if this object, this demon cannot deliver herself from this small rope, how she is going to hurt me? And I remember I quote Psalms 115, that they are man-made. Have a tongue, cannot speak. Have eyes, cannot see. Have ears, cannot hear. Have legs, cannot walk. I said, they are man-made. Nothing else. So that's why all the glory to the living God. Because he's alive, he speaks, he works, he do amazing things. I'm still alive, and that stone piece, I don't know where he is. So I show them, I say, you know, Dad, our God is powerful. So they are growing in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and moving forward and struggling. And Dad got sick, so he have an addiction. He was a heroin addict, one. Then he was a worshipper of dead bodies, go to dead peoples for wishes. Third, he was also in the worship or in the business of following Ali, which is the Chia group. And they got together every year for 10 days, and their worship is to cut themselves with a sharp knife. So his back, maybe next time I will take a picture and bring. His back is like all full of scars. His head have a big scars. And that was his worship. So when he became a believer, God delivered him from the addiction of heroin. God delivered him from that worship style. And still alive, still rolling, still moving, and still complaining. He complains a lot, like the children of Israel in the wilderness, having everything, but when is something go away? Why? That's a whiny baby called why. And we do that often. It's sometime healthy, sometime not. Sometime we are missing the point. Instead of saying why, saying what you want me to do here. What is you trying to teach me, Almighty God? So, still alive. And then, as I was, you know, studying the Word of God as a hungry child and looking for truth, I went to many places seeking for the truth. Went to many roller coaster area, Pentecostal things. And learning how to speak in tongues and this and this. I say, oh, so much confusion. I remember 1 Corinthians saying, Paul saying, our God is not the God of confusion. I say, oh, I'm confused. So I say, it's not right place. Going along many places, approached by Jehovah Witness, saying, if you preach Jehovah Bible, we will give you a lot. We will give you good salary and good house and provide you unlimited Bibles and curriculum to use. And I understand, oh, a God and Jesus is not this and this is just a human and come to please and has a slave and this, I say, everything is wrong here. So I walk away. So seeking for truth and Bible says, those who are hunger for the righteous, those who are hunger for the Word of God, He will fulfill and not leave them or left them empty. He will fulfill their desire. So I was seeking and just so happened I was praying and that was my desire from very beginning. That my wife is coming from other country. Now I want to talk to you about little bit how I got here. As I'm serving and being a good boy, because in Pakistan tradition, we have arranged marriages. So my parents been invited by many and got many invitations and saying, we want to take your son as our son to marry to our daughters. At least, as I can recall, 16 invitations coming and they saying, oh, he's fine, he don't drink, he have a no police record, and he in the ministry, that's the best thing, and he's perfect for our daughter. And mostly come and they say, you are son. I say, okay, very good. I have to pray. And I say, God said no. Even in those invitations, I remember one girl come to me and she said, God told me you are my husband. I said, sorry, he haven't told me yet. So I was waiting faithfully based upon Psalms 37 verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Just remain in His will. Just seek Him. And I was waiting based upon that scripture that, Lord, you told me and you has put that desire in my heart that my wife is coming from other country. So, just so happened. First time missionary came from Massachusetts Bible Church, which is a Grace Bible Church, Massachusetts, from Pastor McLaughlin group. Scott Grandy came first time. They went back. I did not understand. I said, oh. As I was confused, looking for God's timing and a lot of things going on, and He gave the grace message, I said, oh, it's too easy. You have to do nothing, just believe, that's it. Too easy. So we were there like a Pharisee trying to trick him, trying to, you know, do a lot of question and answer to make him crazy. But he just simply gave the gospel and then he said, that's it. You don't have to do anything. By faith alone, in Christ alone, you are eternally saved. That's it. You can do nothing to change the mind of God, and you cannot do any evil to change His love for you. You are saved by grace. We said, okay, simple. So, he gone, still seeking for truth, not understand. Then second time he came, guess what? That was the time that the same message was continually going on in my soul that my wife is coming from other country. So, here we are in 2007, 2006. Thank you, dear. That is my suitable helper. I call her my princess. I call her my rib. And also, according to scripture, my suitable helper. So, she's a wonderful helper. So, they came in 2006 and I received a call from my cousin and he said, missionary team is coming, 5 people, 3 gentlemen and 2 ladies, and they're going to be in Nigeria for 3 weeks. And after they are coming to Pakistan for 3 weeks, so they are going to stay with you in your area for 3 days. So they are American and they need American toilet, because they can't use Pakistani toilet. I said, okay, because it's too hard. So I said, okay, we will put that, you know, we will do that arrangement. So here I am sitting in Pakistan toilet and breaking the bricks and cement and all kind of things, and Spirit of God starts saying, there's a special gift is coming for you. So by the way, I want to let you know, God, the Holy Spirit is omnipresent everywhere. He can talk in the bathroom. You can hear Him. Even in your shower, when you're taking shower and saying, our God is an awesome God. So you can sing any song. So here I am breaking the bricks and Spirit of God saying, there is a special gift is coming for you. I knew that in my heart. And I start thinking and I say, but which one? There's a 2 ladies coming. Which one is mine? So they are wrapping up their mission trip in Nigeria. And 2 people decided, one lady and 1 gentleman, they decided to go from back Nigeria to London to back United States. So now 2 gentlemen and 1 lovely, beautiful princess is coming with them. So here we are preparing for them, stage and everything. And I heard, and I saw her, I said, wow. Wow, she's beautiful. And they were there for 3 days, and we got to do ministry work in villages and cities. And I asked back then with my broken English first question. Broken English, you can imagine. I asked her, are you bachelor? And they were, you know, back and forth with each other. And she said, Scott, do I look like a bachelor? So then she finally said, do you mean that I'm single? Yes. I said, yeah. So that was the first question. Then they left. And before she left, we exchanged gifts with each other. I have kept that gift probably 3 years before ever I met her. And I decided that gift is for special person. So the minute I saw, I said, this is the gift for her. So I took that gift from my bed, under bed. I kept there and went to a small shop, emptied his biscuit box and put all the gifts in. And that gift was a clay pottery like you guys have over there from Israel. So that same clay pottery is a different things. So I gave it to her, gave a scriptures full of letter. All scriptures was written by my friend who knew English. And she read and she said, wow. And we exchanged the information and then she fly back to United States. Long story short, we were talking. We were talking and over the internet and phone, our mostly discussion was 5 to 10 minutes because I knew that much English. Hello, hi, how are you? What's you doing? Are you going to work? Are you coming home? When you doing? Just simple, you know, conversation. Daily 20 to 30 wording conversation. It's going on, and then I ask a second question. When I was on a Bible study in a mountain area, snow was falling down, the night was so beautiful, we finished our supper, and I asked my friend who knew English. I said, by the way, if you want to ask somebody to marry you, what you have to say in English? He said, simple, will you marry me? So I memorized that line. I watched the time and I say, oh, it's morning in the United States and let's call. So the same way, hello, good morning, how are you? What are you doing? I'm drinking my coffee, getting ready to go to work. And I said, okay, I have a question. She said, what? I said, will you marry me? She said, what? I said, will you marry me? And in her head, she later on told me that she already told two gentlemen after praying and asking God if they are her husband, and God said no. So she's in her mind saying, I will pray. That's the nice answer. I will pray. We often give that. I will pray for that. I will think about that. So she said, I will pray. And I say, okay, you go ahead, pray. I know the answer. And it was truth. It was God's plan for us. So here she's praying in the United States and struggling and asking God, God, but. But our, you know, I cannot have children for him. I don't want to take his right wife from away from him. But God, our little age different. But God, this and this, I don't know him. And God said, you listen to me, little girl, go. And Isaiah 55, verse 8, my plan is higher than your plan. My plan or my way is not your way. Here is she listening to Almighty God and answer. And here we are, you know, talking each other. And I said, you know, replying with these things, I said, you know, God, plan is greater than our plans. And I say, I will take every risk to fulfill the plan of God because I know I'm completely convinced. And I was quoting about, you know, kids. I said, God able to do that with Abraham and Sarah. If his will, he will do it. About, you know, other difference. God told Hosea, prophet Hosea, and he said, go. I want to demonstrate my love, my faithfulness. Go and marry to prostitute. This is a evidence that God has told and people do it. In my culture, being a firstborn, mama and daddy want to see your first seed, firstborn. I said, I don't care. I violate all man-made tradition to follow the will of God. And I say, if I'm willing, what's the problem? So we follow the plan of God, and then she came back. Before we finished that conversation, I asked a third question. When are you coming back? When she told me, God told me that you are my husband. And I said, then when are you coming back? Maybe next month? And she said, no, it will take 2 months to get visa to get into Pakistan. I said, okay. So we were just calculating, and I said, if you come April 17, we will get married April 18. So she traveled almost more than 25 hours and get home and have a night rest, and next day she was like a baby doll. We have prepared everything. She have a clothes after clothes, clothes after clothes. We have like a 7 days wedding ceremonies. So, but we did like 4 to 5 days, right, hon? And she was tired and she was like, okay, boom, oil ceremony, many other ceremonies. That was God's plan for me to bring me into United States. And before she come, I was telling my mom and dad, my wife is coming from other country. And they said, are you not? We don't know anybody in other country. We have no any relatives. We don't have a money. You are not educated. You don't know the language. You don't know anybody in politician. And I said, my God is great. My God is able. He have put that desire in my heart, so He's going to work out. He's going to make a path. And guess what? When that happened, many jaw was dropped. Huh? Many jaw was dropped. Many people were amazed. Even the unbeliever were amazed, saying, His God is mighty and powerful. So he do these kind of things to demonstrate even not to us how faithful He is, but also to unbelievers. So never forget that fact. He is faithful. Even sometimes we pray and we don't hear answer. He hear every prayer ever go before His throne. But it's up to Him. He's the boss. He is the boss, and depend on Him if we like to answer or not. So don't take any doubt in your mind and saying, maybe God has turned away from me. He listen every prayer, but it depend on Him, on His timing to answer. So it was right timing. She came to Pakistan. We got married. She stayed 3 months, 3.5 months in Pakistan. And then there was a right timing when some trouble was rising in Pakistan. I said, Han, you have to go. So she left Pakistan and we were separated 14 months. And that was a wonderful, wonderful, bitter journey. But with the grace of God, with holding on His promises, with living on every day, Lord, You are mighty. And those 14 months, my best reading was the book of Job and Psalms. Because there was a lot of, you know, criticize was going on in my family. People around, they said, oh, God did that to you and now you are left alone here like a widow. Nothing going to happen. You will stay here. You will die here. She's not coming back. She's take advantage and did everything what she ever want to do. And she's not faithful. This and this and this. And I'm reading Psalms. My soul is thirsty for You, O Lord. I'm looking for You, O living God. Deliver me. Answer me. Not be silent from me. My enemy is strong. Lord, like David said, you know, my bed is wet every night and my tear is a food. My tear is my food day and night. So these scriptures I'm just gleaning on and saying, Lord, please, shut the mouth of those who are lifting their mouth and criticizing me. I'm waiting and waiting, and guess what? When I heard that I'm going to United States, those who are criticizing, they said again, huh? They were amazed. They were shocked. They said, how can? And I said, my God is powerful. My God is mighty. My God is awesome. So when I left Pakistan, before I left, there's elders, they're praying. They said, we believe God is not just sending a missionary from United States to Asia Minor. Now God is taking a missionary to United States to make or demonstrate His power, that He is still faithful. And that's why I'm here. And I want to remind you, the day that I stepped on American soil, I was free. I was breathing free. Many people ask me throughout the schools I go in, public school to speak. They said, what was the best thing you experienced when you got here? And I told them, it was not food. It was not especially famous Davis ribs. I like it, barbecue, but that was not that. It was the freedom that I was free first time. And I can reach anybody. Even I can talk to the Homeland Security officer. Hey, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be safe. I was free. I was a free bird. And that's, I want to remind you, you guys are blessed. And that's the way how I got here into United States. God takes one positive volition to do amazing things. Like Joseph, he was thinking he's being sold, he's accused, he's been put into jail, but he was faithful. God was faithful to him, took him and spares many generations. And he can do that to you. And he is doing. As I was hearing Miss Linty, that God is using this congregation not in only Texas but beyond the border of Texas, even in other nations. So stay positive. God got the all ability. He's only looking for positive volition or other way availability. He don't need any, you know, power. He got the power. We have to listen and to be obedient. So I got here and I'm blessed to be here in the United States, and bold like a righteous is like a lion. So you must be bold every day. You must be a man who can change the history. You must be a woman who can change the history. And from your one day, 5 minutes can change the history. How? Pray. Pray. I was in Washington and there was a lady way, 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 way back before even that town ever come to know the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. She was praying and praying, and Pastor Roger Teeley, he was telling me, he said he believes that lady was praying, God, God, bless this town and make your son Jesus Christ known, and know that a small town is not only reaching the Curlew, Washington, but also going beyond other countries. And that a little small, little tiny church from Pastor Roger Teeley and hearing him, they are going in India, they are going in Kazakhstan, they are going in Papua New Guinea, they are going in Peru. And guess what? One little lady was faithful to pray and saying, Lord, you change the history. And your prayer is never forsaken. Your prayer is never wasted. It's always here by Almighty God. Sometimes we see the fruit here, and sometimes we will see the fruit up there. How affected is the prayer ministry, the power of prayer is. That is a wonderful ministry. And we all call to do that as a royal priest. As a royal priest, that is God want us to do. Based upon 1 Peter 2, chapter 2, 9, Corinthians chapter, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, we are royal priest. Hebrews chapter 13, to bring a sacrifice before God. So you are blessed beyond your imagination. Every way, just start counting the blessing. Like David said in Psalms 139, he said, God, if I stop and start counting your wonders, your wonder is like the grain of sand. The seed, the grains of the seed of sand or something, you know what I'm talking about. If I start counting, they are unlimited, unnumbered. So, every morning, wake up and say, thank you, Jesus, you are still free. Don't caught up yourself with any slavery, because it's so easy to caught up in so many things. So that's the way I got into United States, and I don't know how many minutes I have. 10:30, I got 14 minutes. So if you have any question regarding that, and in the next hour we will talk about what is God doing in Pakistan and what is going on and how God is using. If you guys have any question regarding so far what we talk about, please ask, feel free.
No, we do need the mic.
I didn't quite get but the story about the Jehovah Witness.
Mm-hmm.
Just what was the point on that?
A point was, you know, they were approaching me as I was following and want to seek truth. I was approached by, you know, Gentiles over there. They were saying, we will give you 2 wives, big property, just 1 thing, deny Jesus Christ. And then by Jehovah Witness, they were saying, preach Jehovah Bible. They have their own Bible. They said, forget about that. Is not the revelation you have. This is a Jehovah Bible, and it is a revelation, and we want you to preach that and distribute that, and we will give you good money, good home, and even maybe there will be a time that you can come and visit us in United States. And I said, no. So that was the deal.
Wasn't there also a Muslim offer that came to you as well from Islam?
Yeah. Yeah. Over there, that is the daily test believers have to face. Daily test. We will give you 2 wives to marry. I was offered 2 wives to marry and good property, good social status, and even American passport to live here. And guess what? I did not deny Jesus Christ, and now I'm here. And I'm so blessed. So blessed that I did not make that decision ever.
The freedom that you're talking about, is it from the Muslim oppression or the Muslim government? The
here?
Freedom that we have here.
Yes. We have a freedom, and that freedom I'm talking about spiritually. I'm talking about, you know, nationally freedom, that I have a right to speak. Nobody will kill me. Nobody will accuse me. Nobody will put me into jail and saying, you said this, or you said Jesus Christ is the only way and everybody else is a false. Even based upon that, 1 thing, you can be put into jail for the rest of your life. So that's why I love the freedom, even tiny freedom I have here in the United States. And I often describe this, God, you give me place to stand, and I will use that stand to make and your son Jesus Christ make known to anyone who even don't want to listen. Because I know my persecution here will be this: hey, get off me, Jesus freak, that's it. That's it. Or, you know, in schools often, I want to encourage you this, especially girls and boys who are in school. Never buy that lie. Never buy that lie and never confuse your identification in Jesus Christ after any girls or any good, you know, looking or any other thing. Don't buy that lie. Stand firm and say, yes, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I tell often in the schools to girls, I know you are under the fear of losing a friend. Oh, if I told her or him, she will not like me because I go to church. I study the Bible. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Don't worry about that little thing. She will decay, but your Jesus Christ will stand forever. She's not faithful. He's faithful. And he have a better plan. That's why I remind myself and everybody, you will decay. So Jesus is the better deal. You will not, you know, feel bad ever. Go ahead, sir.
I just wondered, do you have siblings that became also believers? Or how do your family members react on your Christianity
mm-hmm.
now?
Yeah, my mom and dad, they are believers, and also my 2 youngest brothers, they became a believer, and now they are serving 24/7 in church. And they are blessed and thankful forever to know that God who is faithful. And I'm very thankful for them.
So how was your wife and the ministry team able to come to Pakistan to, as a missions group, if
Yeah, they were mostly, most of time people go there. I don't know what standard they were. They were putting a standard as a visitor, right? Yeah, as a visitor. They are going to visit to see some ancient thing, but you are undercover and going as a agents of Jesus Christ. So they were there and boom. Yeah. Yeah, one letter of invitation, the person who are living in that area. So based upon that, you go there.
I've heard from friends of mine who are missionaries or were missionaries, mm-hmm. that for years the Muslim people were very close to the gospel. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden there is an awakening where many people who are or were Muslim are willing to hear about Christ. What is your experience in that way?
Say again.
Okay, I've heard from people who've been missionaries, mm-hmm. to Muslim areas that people are very close to hearing the gospel, but in recent years, people are much more open to hearing it about Jesus Christ, and a lot more people who are Muslim are coming to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
What is your experience in that?
In that experience, most of time, you know, they never introduced to the grace of God and the love of God. So when you show them that there is someone who loves them without any conditions, and that is a magnet, that is like a water for thirsty soul, food for hunger child. So they never called in their Holy Quran that Allah loved them. So they are always under the expression of fear and to do things to please Him. And that's why they even take a step further to die for Him. So when they hear the message of grace and love and that God's Son and even God come in a bodily form and die to deliver them, that is a honey for the soul. And if there's any troubles or any hindrance, you know, people deny the message, guess what? Jesus is powerful and alive, and most stories I've been hearing, He's showing Himself, He's manifesting Himself to them and saying, I am the way, I am the only way. And many terrorists is coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ without anybody speaking the message. Yep.
Can you tell us a little bit about the Chrislam movement?
Sure. Yeah, the new idea for Chrislam going on in Pakistan, it is... Okay. I'm just looking at the movie camera. I don't want to be, you know... Yeah. The Chrislam idea in Pakistan, that is their new face. There's a two kind of jihad. One is open jihad, where people wearing a bomb belt and just dying for Allah and killing people, especially Christian and Jew. And then there's another one, it's called civilization jihad. They come into the area and live there very peaceful. Gentle people like, you can say, are they angels? That is their cover. So humble, so gentle, and they are living in that attitude. And the Chrislam is that Christian and Muslim should start marrying each other, living together, and especially this is happening in Pakistan. The community who has been put down, the community has been, you know, denied, called unworthy, unholy, and that community, when they are going to hear that they are accepted by them, guess what? Everybody wanna join them. And that is their approach. With a peaceful and gentle and loving and kind way, saying, come on brothers, we are brothers. Let's get married together and join together and gain power with the one purpose to kill all the Jew. That's the idea of Chrislam. Muslim and a Christian get together and united and gain power and then attack and kill all the Jews. So that's the idea of Chrislam.
I have heard of that only recently, let's say a month or so ago. Can you give us some names or some celebrities I've heard that are into this?
There's many, you know, I can't name all of them.
How about three or four of them?
Especially, I don't want to say the names. You can see, it will be more and more obvious. Yeah.
Could you just take a minute to give us an idea of what next hour is going to be like, the ministry you're going to talk about at Grace Bible Church?
Yes. In next hour, we are going to talk about, this was just the where I come from, how God delivered me, and how I got here. Next hour, we are going to talk about the awesome ministry God has given us to do in Pakistan. So please feel free to join, and it will be awesome. And you can have a more answer and question how we do there and what's going on. So that will be the next hour. So we got 2 minutes. Let's pray, right? If you have any question for 1 minute, that's fine. If it's not, then let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you so much for this wonderful believer's body, your body, and your majestic one, your holy ones. And Father, I hope your spirit give them more and more boldness to be a light, to be a salt, to preserve many from the eternal fire, and be a light and be a messenger of your Son Jesus Christ in a Texas or in Austin area. And Father, your spirit remind them over and over that they are not going to be harmed. They are bold like lions. So encourage this body and continually use them. And I'm very thankful for Pastor Bob and for all the deacons and all the congregation that they gave their very important hour to talk about your majesty. Thank you. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.